All right. This is going to be the second video today. I've got a few things that I wanted to cover. This is, again, August the 8th, 2023. And in this podcast, I want to talk about something that I've seen a number of cases that have discussed, and in some cases, the judges have kind of mocked the people that are making the claim. So I was trying to research exactly, you know, whether or not this was true and how it plays out. We're always going to run into ignorant judges that think they know the law better than anyone else. And if you do run into a judge like that, we need to have enough information to be able to back up our position. And this may end up having a second video where I have to further clarify what I'm going through. These are just some of the information that I found related to some of the claims that are going around. Now, one of the claims is that we don't actually run in Article III courts. The Article III courts are the common law courts. They claim that that's not actually the court that we're in, and it absolutely is not, because if it were, everything would be completely different. It'd be a lot simpler. So the next step is that we're in a Article I court, which is not really what we're in either, because that's more of an administrative kind of thing. And the last one would be an admiralty or a maritime court. And they kind of use those terms differently, but they're really, from all that I can tell, they're the same thing. Some people say there's four different kinds of court. I would say there's three, because maritime and admiralty seem to kind of be merged together. Now, the claim is that we're in a maritime court. There's another claim that goes along that says that there is no crime. There's no criminal actions that are taken in any of these courts. The admiralty court is purely administrative with a criminal side of it, but it's actually all civil. It's not, there is no criminal code, for example. And so that's one of the claims. And then another part of that claim is that everything is commerce. There is no there's no criminal actions that go on. Everything's about making money. It has nothing to do with, or everything's about, you know, conducting business, I guess you could say it that way. So what I did is I started out with, and I apologize here and turn this thing off. I started out with going through the federal rules for the court system, FRCPs. And I started with Rule 2 because it's more explicit, and then we'll get to Rule 1. But Rule 2 says there is no form of action except for the civil action. There is one form of action, the civil action. So this would seem to back up the fact that the claim that there is no criminal actions, it's all civil, that pretty much seems like it says it point blank, because that's the very, you know, first part of the FRCP. So there's one form of action, the civil action. Then if we go back and look at Rule 1 says the rules govern the procedure in all civil actions. So again, it's talking only about civil actions and proceedings in the United States district courts, except as stated in Rule 81, there should be construed administrative, or they should be construed, administered, and employed by the court and the parties to secure the just, speedy, and an inexpensive determination of every action and proceeding. So again, Rule 1 talks specifically about civil actions, and it says in exception of Rule 81. So let's take a look at what Rule 81 says. It says the rules apply to a civil action after it has been removed from a state court. Now, again, you'll notice that state court is lowercase, which seems to be that they are actually talking about the state court. Now, this is a little confusing to me because it talks about it being removed from the state court. and what it kind of what I'm thinking is the state court can't operate in maritime. I don't know what the that's a federal government jurisdiction. So I don't know how the state would actually operate in maritime. And so the question becomes, are any of our courts actually state courts, or are they all federal courts and they're just pretending to be state courts? But it would explain how some of the laws, some of the rules and regulations that we're supposed to be following are federal in nature, but they somehow are applied to us at a state level, which the federal government has no jurisdiction at a state level. So there is some kind of a game being played here between the federal government and the state government. And I think that it's going to hinge on the whole state of the United States thing. There's some game afoot here, and we're still trying to dig into this to get the exact thing that's going on, but they're doing a very good job of hiding it in all of these codes and stuff. So that is an interesting thing. The rules are removed from a state court. That goes on to 28 USC 1331, which is a federal question. And it says the district courts shall have original jurisdiction of all civil actions arising under the Constitution, laws, or treaties of the United States. And again, this is a District of Columbia. The United States is the District of Columbia. I can go through 100 hours of video to prove that the United States is 100% equal to the District of Columbia. But the point is that they're talking here about all of the federal courts, the district courts. They have original jurisdiction. That means that they are the primary court that you're going to be heard in any of these laws or any of these cases. So we know it's civil now. We know that it seems to be something going on between the state and the federal government, and that the federal government gets jurisdiction as soon as it's removed from the state. So let's keep going here. We've got 28 USC diversity of citizenship. This actually is just an oddity that I put in here, because it says the district courts shall have original jurisdiction of all civil actions where the matter in controversy exceeds the sum of $75,000. So, and if you go in here and read down a little bit, it says, and is between citizens of different states. But look, this is a capital state. This is not the lowercase several states. So again, this would appear to be a bit of a contradiction here with what is supposed to be going on. And then we have number two, citizens of a state and citizens or subjects of a foreign state. Now, I think in the previous podcast, we kind of talked a little bit about foreign states and the fact that a foreign state is actually anything that is not part of the District of Columbia. It's their definition of state with a capital S, which we have never been able to figure out exactly what that is. That is different than the state in all lower in a lowercase s. And this is talking about their state. So citizens of a state and citizens or subjects of a foreign state. They want you to believe that they're talking about foreign governments, but I truly believe that this is all about the several states. And the reason is because the federal government has no jurisdiction in Egypt. So if you're going to call a literal foreign state, which they are as well, but if you're only going to talk about those kind of foreign things, the federal government has no jurisdiction there at all. So that wouldn't make any sense. So they have to be talking about the several states when they talk about a foreign state. And again, the definition section supports that conclusion. So this is citizens of different states in which the citizens are subjects of a foreign state are additional parties. So it essentially goes through a lot of different things, but it's talking about over $75,000. So that would appear that if you're going to some criminal action and it is the amount is above $75,000, that's going to get you into a federal district court. Again, it's all very confusing. So we're just going to have to go with it until we have more information to look at. So now that gets us over here to the word states. Now, this is a very, very elusive definition. It's something that you really have to hunt for. So usually when you're reading these codes, they'll have things like the United States will be highlighted and it'll give you some BS definition of that particular thing. But when it comes to a state and it has these words states everywhere, it is not definitive at all what they're talking about. So that's something that you really have to go look for. This section happens to be at the very, very bottom of the previous code section, which is not normally where they put definitions. They usually have them in a separate code section, but for some reason, this one was hiding way down at the bottom. And it says the word states, as used in this section, includes the territories, the District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. Now, the problem with this, and when you read their code section, it'll tell you that, you know, the word includes doesn't exclude anything. Well, the problem is that if you don't include anything, then you have to start asking questions about what exactly we're talking about. So as an example, the word states is used in the section includes the territories. Why didn't it say includes the several states, the territories, the District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico? If it meant to cover the several states, it should have put that in here. And again, the federal government has no jurisdiction inside of a state. Therefore, if they were to have put the several states in this definition, they would have made this entire code section unconstitutional. So they could not put that in there. What they did instead is they tried to allude to this including the several states, but not actually saying that, because it would have thrown off everything. So again, states, District of Columbia, it absolutely is not the several states. So let's keep going here. So the next thing we hit is actions against a foreign state. So this is 28 U.S.C. 1330. The district court shall have original jurisdiction without regard to the amount in controversy. Well, a minute ago, they said that the amount of $75,000 applies. Now they're saying that no amount matters. And it says, of any non-jury civil action against a foreign state as defined in Section 1603A of this title, as to any claim for relief of personam with respect to which the foreign state is not entitled to immunity. And so this is another. First, we had the $75,000, which looks like it doesn't matter if you have a jury or not. If it's above $75,000, it goes to a federal court. This is saying that anything in a foreign state goes to a federal court. And again, if we're talking about foreign states as in Egypt, no trial in Egypt is going to come to the federal government for any reason whatsoever. So they have to be talking about the several states here. And it also specifically says a non-jury civil action. So if you get pulled over for a traffic ticket, there is no jury. And so at that point, I would assume that you're actually in a federal court. Even though it looks and smells like a state court, it must be a federal. This is all very confusing. And hopefully I'll get more details and figure it out at some point. Right now, I'm just doing this to document what I've found so far. So we're going to go up a little bit more. Here is foreign state, and it says, except as used in Section 1608 of this title, includes a political subdivision of a foreign state or an agency or instrumentality of a foreign state as defined in subsection B. So we're going to go up here. Here is 28 U.S.C. 1603, which is a separate legal person, corporate or otherwise. So this is... Again, they use these words, legal person. A person is an individual, and an individual is a United States citizen. So you would have to argue here that I am neither a person, a corporate, or otherwise, because none of this stuff applies to me. If we come up here, this is the code from an earlier code section. This is 26 U.S.C. 7701A4, domestic. And it says the domestic is a corporate or partnership, means created or organized in the United States and under the laws of the United States or of any state, unless in the case of a partnership secretary. So domestic is within the United States. And again, they use the word states here to make you think they're talking about Georgia and all the rest of them. But they give it away when they say under the laws of the United States, because only the District of Columbia and its territories are under those laws. So a state has its own laws, its own constitution. Now, we're going to slide over here and we're going to take a look at foreign. Foreign, again, 26 USC 7701A5 says it is not domestic. So domestic is in the United States. Not domestic is foreign to the United States. So again, it just kind of supports the fact that when they say foreign state, they're talking about the state of Georgia. So here is 26 USC 7701A. I put that in there twice. I need to get rid of that. In fact, let me do that while I am sitting here. So we're just going to delete this guy and draw a line down to this guy. All right. So now this is 28 USC code 1333, and it says admiralty, maritime, and prize cases. And it says the district courts, so the same courts that we were talking about a minute ago, the district courts shall have original jurisdiction exclusive of the courts of the states. And again, this is talking about this fictitious word state that they don't tell us what that is. They're not telling us if it's Georgia, if it's the several states, and they're not telling us what the heck it is pointing at, because there is nothing that I've ever been able to find within the federal government that has the title of a state. So I have no idea what it is. Puerto Rico, they don't call that a state. It's a territory. So if Puerto Rico is not a state, then what is a state other than the District of Columbia itself, which I think is the state? I just don't know why I know why they're doing it. But in any case, here is 28 USC 1333. This is the same code section. This is the next part. So it says the district court shall have original jurisdiction exclusive of the courts of the states of, and it says any civil case of admiralty or maritime jurisdiction, saving the suitors in all cases of all other remedies to which they're entitled. So this is where we get to the fact that all cases are civil. And then all civil cases of admiralty, the federal government has jurisdiction over. So they have exclusive original jurisdiction of all civil cases of admiralty. So we know from the court, the rules of the court, that all actions are civil. And we know that from here that district courts have original jurisdiction over everything that's maritime. So it seems like some of the things that these people are claiming might actually have some validity. Now we have just a question. Are any of our courts actually state courts, or are they all federal? Because again, I don't have any evidence to support that we're even going to a state court. And then here is 27 CFR 7211, meaning of terms, and it says commercial crimes. So this is a commercial crime. So remember in the beginning, we were talking about commercial. Everything is commercial. And this is in their code section. It says any of the following types of crimes, federal or state, offenses against the revenue laws, and it literally lists every single thing that you could possibly commit a crime about. And it says, as if such were commercial crimes. So no matter what you do, you are committing a commercial crime. So we've now come full circle and we end up back over here where we're talking about the actual, everything is civil. Again, I don't know. I don't feel 100% confident that I could make the claim that our state courts are actually federal courts. I don't have enough evidence yet to support that claim. But I do see in their rules and regulations for the court that everything is civil. I do see in their rules and in their code sections that all commercial, everything, every crime is commercial, and they're operating out of maritime. They have firsthand jurisdiction over everything that's maritime, and all civil actions of maritime fit into their jurisdiction. So I don't know. We're still researching this. I'm still digging through the code sections and stuff. It really makes you want to shoot yourself in the head having to read all this crap. But I do think that we're at the beginning of a picture here that proves that what these people are saying in court is actually true. The problem is that when the judge comes back at them, they don't know enough about the actual proof to be able to back up any of those positions. They're repeating what someone else told them to say, and it's just getting them into trouble, because as soon as the judge comes back after them, they just fold up and don't say anything else. So it's really important that we get to the bottom of this question and actually find the rules and regulations to back up the claim before you end up in court making statements that you can't back up. And so that's what we're kind of after at the moment, is to put this one to bed. We've put the IRS to bed. We know for an absolute fact that no state citizen is supposed to be paying federal income tax. We know for a fact that the federal government has no jurisdiction inside of the states. This is something that is confusing, because it's the federal government is operating inside the states, and we can't figure out why, how, what is going on. And this may actually be the first step into figuring out what's going on.